on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon in the Red River Valley, eastern North Dakota, western Minnesota. And since it is Wednesday at 3:35, that means it is time, like we always do during the Minnesota Twins baseball season, to welcome in the broadcast voice of the Minnesota Twins on Fox Sports North. You know him as Dick Bramer, and we're always happy to welcome him to our program on Wednesdays. Hello, Mr. Bramer. Are you staying cool in the stifling heat of the upper Midwest these days?
Yes, it's kind of tough for everybody, but even though this is an outdoor ballpark, I find myself back in the office area trying to get my stuff done as much as possible. It's odd, you know, the weather's been so great all summer long, at least down here. I suspect up in the Red River Valley as well. Once summer started, it was just gorgeous until the last few days.
Oh, it's been a little steamy up here as well, a little out of our wheelhouse in terms of weather, but we'll be just fine. We can't complain about it because in about 4 months it's going to be 20 below, so we'll be fine. State of the Minnesota Twins. I know I ask you this every week, Dick, and I know it seems like every week the answer is about the same thing. They just kind of keep on doing what they've done this whole season, which is not win a lot of ball games in a row, and some of the same flaws keep showing up in every area, whether it's pitching or base running or just the fundamentals. But I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff over and over again, right?
Yeah, I think one of the great frustrations here is the lack of this team, for whatever reason, to sustain a competitive winning level of play. It was a week ago we were in Detroit. The Twins won 2 out of 3. They frankly should have won all 3 games. And the hope was that, all right, now, you know, we figured some things out. Morneau's hitting, and we'll be able to ride this for a while. But then, the team laid an egg in Cleveland, lost a couple of ball games. One of them, the final game, was just an embarrassing loss. And last night wasn't pretty to watch either. The one encouraging thing about last night is Kevin Correa has come up now with 4 really good starts in a row, and he's one guy who's under contract for next year. So it's nice to see Correa have a little bit something left in the tank here for the final weeks of the season, but a couple of really bad losses in a row for the Twins, so we'll see where September leads this team.
If you want to join the conversation, you can. Give us a call, 237-5948-800-880-5346. Best way to get a hold of us right now, at least when we have Mr. Bramer on, is to text us. Shoot us a text message at 35270. Put the word Mike in there. You can join our text club. We've been getting great success with text questions for Mr. Bramer the last couple of weeks. Last night, turn on the TV, Dick. I'm watching you. I'm listening to the game and everything else. And the bullpen falls apart, which that's going to happen. It was particularly ugly last night. But the Twins, again, it's so frustrating to be sitting in Moorhead, Minnesota, and watch somebody not cover second base on a pitch out, or not watch the fundamentals of Little League baseball. And that's the part, I think, that has everybody so frustrated, whether it's Mike McFeely and Moorhead and clearly Ron Gardenhire in the dugout.
Well, I will connect dots that maybe shouldn't be connected, but I will tell you and the Twins fans that when I got to the ballpark here, and we got, I think, 94 degrees right now, I got to the ballpark, and the middle infielders were out on the field working on some fundamental stuff. Now, that could have been planned a week ago, but I suspect it might be a reaction to what happened last night. It is inexcusable. One of the excuses that was projected was, well, they had a hard time seeing the signs. Well, the fact of the matter is the runner at first took off. Whether there was a pitch out on or not, somebody's got to cover the bag.
Yeah, yep.
And you know, to say, well, you missed the pitch out sign, if that was the excuse used, and I don't know that it was, that's irrelevant. The guy at first took off. Somebody's got to be on the bag, and it's the second time in the last month that the middle infielders have been guilty of that, and the Twins reacted the next day rather sternly. They had a workout for everybody, and here today it was just the infielders out at 3 o'clock in the sweltering heat after the Twins showing yesterday that they're sensitive to the heat and all that. They called off batting practice, but after watching what they watched last night, a little early workout today.
Where does that go back to, and not to point the finger, not to play the blame game, but you know, we talk about, you know, you and I both are huge fans of Ron Gardenhire. You know, I hope that he manages the Twins for the next 10 years. I hope the Twins are successful. But at what point does it become a coaching problem, or is it strictly on the guys on the field, Dick? I mean, they're major league baseball players.
Yeah, I know that, and I guess that's where I'm more inclined to lay the blame. Once the guys cross the line, there's really not a whole lot that the manager can do with that particular player. I think it's significant, Mike, to point out that the dugout was very engaged in the game last night. They sensed that a stolen base was coming up. They're the ones that called the pitch out, and really there's not much more you can do after that. It's up to the player or players involved in the game to get it done once they cross the line, and obviously that didn't happen last night. I don't know how you could possibly point the finger at the manager or the coaching staff when they were on their toes and they, you know, sniffed something
right
out.
Yeah, they called the pitch out. Yeah,
they did what they're supposed to be doing. Now, if they hadn't been doing that, if they were asleep at the wheel or something, well, then I think you can look in the dugout and say, well, are these guys still engaged in the game? And I haven't seen any evidence to that at all. I think it's the simplest explanation for where this season has gone with the Twins is the same explanation for the last 2 years. The players simply have not been good enough to win.
Justin Morneau, his name again, is coming up in trade talks. Now Josh Willingham has been placed on waivers, which means that he is the possibility of being traded from the Minnesota Twins. I think the deadline is Saturday. Is that right? The teams have have to make a trade. Any buzz, any talk that either Morneau or Willingham are headed someplace else, Dick, before Saturday?
No, I don't get any sense of that. Doesn't mean that something might not happen. The Twins, as you know, Mike, have always been close-lipped about things like this. Mm-hmm. So the leaks are coming from outside the Twins organization. There is one significant difference that fans need to be aware of. Josh Willingham is under contract for next year. Justin Morneau is not. There are so many connections here that can be made regarding the Morneau situation. And one of them, frankly, is Joe Mauer's situation. Joe is out with the concussion right now. He hasn't responded as quickly as he or the team had hoped. There's no timetable yet as to when he's going to come back. And, of course, Mauer is under contract for many, many years. And if the determination, and I need to emphasize the word if the determination is that the Twins need to start transitioning Joe out from behind the plate because of, you know, the commitment they've made to him financially and otherwise, well, the logical place to put him then would be at first base. And if he's playing first base, Justin Morneau won't be playing first base. So there are a lot of different connections that might lead to Justin being more tradable than we think.
Let's go to the phones. Doug in Fargo has a question for Dick Bramer. Go ahead, Doug. You're on KFGO. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Pedro Florimon. He seems to be like he's going to be a true pro. He does his job, does his thing, he plays pretty well. To me, I'm seeing if he had more responsibility, I think he could bring more to the table if they moved him up in the order.
Okay. I think at this point he's got his plate pretty full as it is, hitting ninth. He's hitting about 220. He's striking out.
For some reason, I just think that maybe a person would get more out of him if you put more on his shoulders.
Okay.
I've seen something in that kid, and I was wondering what you thought about that.
Thank you, Doug.
Yeah, I agree with Doug, at least defensively. I think Twins fans have enjoyed having a shortstop out there who seems to want the ball hit to him. And it's kind of an odd concept, but I don't know that the Twins have had that for the last several years. So defensively, there's no question that he can get the job done. I think there's still some questions offensively. Is he that good of a fielder that hitting 220 and striking out once every three or four times is enough to warrant him being in the lineup? As it is, I think the Twins want him to try to figure some things out hitting ninth, and then if he has built his confidence up, there's a chance he could move up to maybe the second spot in the batting order.
What is the cutoff line for shortstops in modern Major League Baseball to hit, Dick? And the reason I ask the question is, you know, aside from the guys that are just great all-around players who are, you know, bombing the ball all over the place, back when you and I were youngsters, back in our day, if you had a guy hitting 225 who could field the lights out of the baseball, that's all they wanted out of their shortstop. Just it was, he was a defensive player who could bat ninth in the order. Is that still good enough for a major league shortstop, or do shortstops have to be the entire package now? At least maybe hit 260 and you know, not strike out so much.
Right. It might be evolving back to that point, but Cal Ripken kind of changed a lot of that when he was the shortstop, and then later Derek Jeter and Alex Rodriguez, Miguel Tejada. We went through a phase where offense was part of the job description as a shortstop. And Twins fans will remember Zoilo Versalles winning the league MVP in 65, and one of the reasons was in that era, you just didn't expect a shortstop to, you know, hit 20 triples, 20 home runs, and hit 280 and score 100 and some runs or whatever Zoilo put up that year. But it might be evolving back to that as you look around baseball. The Royals are an improved team, and they've got a shortstop who's very good defensively, but really isn't much of a threat offensively, Alcides Escobar. We might be getting back there, but we went through a phase where the shortstop position was considered more of an offensive position, but as the offensive numbers have declined in baseball for whatever reason, now we've got more and more shortstops who were like they were in the 60s and 70s.
Just a couple of minutes left with our friend Dick Bramer of the Minnesota Twins, talking Twins baseball on the Mike McFeely Show this afternoon. I'm going to go to a phone call from Richard in Moorhead. He has a question for Dick Bramer. Richard, go ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Dick. How hard is it to announce the games the way they're playing? That's number one. Number two is, why isn't Bert on there more? I mean, you two together, it's just great. The other one's okay, but you two are just great to listen to.
I call it magic, Richard. I call it broadcasting magic between Dick and Bert Blyleven. First question, Dick, how tough is it to broadcast games when the Twins are struggling?
Well, it's not as much fun as it is when we're at this point of the season and we know we've got pretty much every slight baseball fan in the upper Midwest watching every pitch of every inning. There's no question about that, but it's, you know, when I started, Mike, in 1983, the team was pretty much off the radar screen completely, so I still enjoy it. I love coming to work every day. It's not the same as those great series we had in Chicago this time of year just a few years ago, where, you know, you know you've got everyone's attention. But it's still an awful lot of fun. No two games, whether they're wins or losses, are the same. So I'm just as anxious to get to the booth and announce the game tonight as I would be normally. As for Bert, he's cut back his schedule to 100 games from 150, and Roy Smalley will be working the next week or so. Tom Kelly, Ron Coomer, they all do a good job, but it'll be nice to work with Bert again when he gets back after the next road trip.
A text question comes in for you, Dick. It says, Mike, ask Dick who is the best fisherman on the Twins team. Do you know the answer to that question? Who's the best angler?
Oh, boy.
Besides you, of course.
Yeah, no, I have used to be, I would spend a lot of time in the boat with Kent Herbeck or Ron Davis, somebody like that. I haven't been in the boat to make an intelligent guess, but I would imagine Glenn Perkins, I know, loves to fish. Beyond that, you know, Brian Dozier's an outdoorsman. I know that. Josh Willingham is. I'd have to just take a guess. I'll go with the native Minnesotan. We'll go with Glenn Perkins. Oh, let me amend that. It might be Caleb Thielbar because he went to school to be a game warden, so I'm guessing he probably enjoys hunting and fishing,
that's
too.
He went to South Dakota State to be a game warden. You're exactly right. That's fantastic. What's Ron Davis doing these days? You mentioned the name Ron Davis. That's a blast from the past. What's he up to?
Yeah, he had a baseball school down in Arizona. Of course, his son is Ike Davis, first baseman for the Mets, who was here just last week, I guess. And somebody told me that he's a guide, or he does some outdoor hunting and fishing professional service. So that might be what he's doing. I have not seen him they had a reunion here, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago. That's the last time I saw Ron. But I did spend a lot of time bird hunting, duck hunting, and fishing with him. He was quite the outdoorsman.
Let's go to Richard in Fargo has a question for Dick Bramer. Richard, you're on KFGO. Go ahead.
Hi, Dick. Nice talking to you. Going back to the Minnesota Twins and some of their issues that they're having, I know you're a big-time Ron Gardenhire fan and also a Joe Mauer fan. No doubt Joe's a good ball player. But here again, what I look at here is kind of back when the Minnesota Vikings sold the farm for a guy by the name of
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. And I feel the same thing has happened here when they sold the farm for Joe Mauer. And, you know, if you look at the RBIs, I realize he's batting 328. But would you rather have a Miguel Cabrera or would you rather have a Joe Mauer on your team?
Right. Dick, you have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. I love Joe Mauer. I'd much rather have Miguel Cabrera. Who wouldn't? Yeah. The guy is going to go down as one of the great power hitters and run producers in the history of the game. The Twins, in reality, had no choice but to sign Joe Mauer. He's going to be the next Hall of Famer wearing a Twins cap. He's having a great career. He's having a typical Joe Mauer year. We just don't know at this point how much longer, Mike, he's going to be behind the plate or whether he's going to be at first base or some other position.
All right, Dick. Thank you, my friend. Call a great game. We'll talk next week.
All right, very good.
Yep, you bet. Dick Bramer, Minnesota Twins. And by the way, people have to go over the fact that Joe Mauer can't hit home runs. He's a doubles hitter, singles hitter. We'll talk more about it. Four-pack next.